ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, text number 14 is today's, but 12 and 13 don't have a purport. So I'll just read it, I'll just chant the verses and read the translation, and then we'll move on to text number 14. Text 12, Sri Shuka Uvacha, Tasyetham Bhasmanasya Prarado Bhagavat Priyah Ajagam Kuru Shrestha Rakapatir Ivotitah. Translation, Shukdev Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there like the moon rising in the night time. Text 13, Tamindrasena Swapitamaham Shriya Virajamanam Nalina Yetikshanam Pramsumpi Sangambaram Anjana Twisham Pralamba Bahum Subhagarshabham Aikshata. Translation, then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ointment for the eyes. His tall, elegant figure was dressed in yellow garments. He had long arms, and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. Text 14. Tasmai Balir Varuna Pasha Yantritaha Samarhanam Nopajahara Purvavat Nanama Murdhanashru Vilola Lochanaha Sa Vrida Nichina Mukho Bahuva Ha Tasmai Balirva Runapasha Yantritaha Tasmai Balirva Runapasha Yantritaha Samarhanam Nopajahara Purvavat Samarhanam Nopajahara Purvavat Nanama Murdana Shru Vilola Lochana Nanama Murdana Shru Vilola Lochana Savrida Nichida Mukho Bahuvaha Savrida Nichida Mukho Bahuvaha Tasmai Balirva Runapasha Yantritaha Samarhanam Nopajahara Purvavat Nanama Murdana Shru Vilola Lochana Savrida Nichina Mukho Bhuvaha तस्मै बलिर्वारुणपाशयन्त्रितः समर्हणं नोपजहार पूर्ववत् ननाम मूर्धना श्रुविलोललोचना सवृढनिशीरमुखो बभूवः. प्लीज स्टैंड. तस्मै बलिर्वारुणपाश माताजी तस्मै बलिर्वारुणपाशयन्त्रितः word to word meaning, please repeat after me. Tasmai unto Prahlad Maharaj, Balihi Bali Maharaj, Varuna Pasha Yantritaha, being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Samarhanam, befitting respect, Na not Upajahara, offered पूर्ववत् लाइक बिफोर ननामा ही ऑफर्ड ओबेसेंसेस मूर्धना विद द हेड अश्रु विलोल लोचना आईज इनंडेटेड विथ टीयर्स सवृडा विथ शाइनेस निचीना डाउनवर्ड मुखः फेस बभूवः ही सो बिकेम. ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की ट्रांसलेशन. बीइंग बाउंड बाय द रोप्स ऑफ वरुणा बलि महाराज कुड नॉट ऑफर बीफिटिंग रिस्पेक्ट टू प्रहलाद महाराज एज ही हैड बिफोर रादर ही सिंपली ऑफर्ड रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस विथ हिज हेड हिज आईज बीइंग इनंडेटेड विथ टीयर्स एंड हिज फेस lowered in shame. Purport. Since Bali Maharaj had been arrested by Lord Vamandev, he was certainly to be considered an offender. Bali Maharaj seriously felt that he was an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, Prahlad Maharaj would not like this. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was ashamed and hung his head. Please repeat the translation after me. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च नमा ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधाकांता नमोस्तुते सप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम दिस चैप्टर बलि महाराज सरेंडर्स हिज लाइफ नाउ वी सॉ इन द लास्ट चैप्टर व्हेन महाराज बलि गेट्स अरेस्टेड बाय द लॉर्ड We saw that in the beginning of that chapter, how Bali Maharaj, he accepts, he despite the contrary advice of his spiritual master Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj, he goes against that advice and he offers Vamandev three steps of land which he has requested. Now we see here that as soon as Bali Maharaj accepts Lord Vamandev, he takes his gigantic form, he takes his universal form, and with his first step he covers Bhurloka, and because his body expands, with his body he covers the sky and all the directions, and with his second step he covers the upper planetary system, and then he comes in front of Bali Maharaj saying, you haven't fulfilled your promise. Where is the place to put the third step? And in fact, it so happens that as soon as Lord Vamandev, he takes his second step, his toenails pierce the coverings of the universe. And the effulgence of his toenails is so much that Lord Brahma, who is present in Satyaloka, he feels that the effulgence of Satyaloka, he has diminished due to the brightness and effulgence of the Lord's toenails. So Lord Brahma, along with his associates like Marichi and Rikshraj Jambuan, they go to do perform Charan Abhishek of the Lord. So Brahma takes the water from his Kamandalu and performs Charan Abhishek. And that water which flows down becomes the river Ganges. In fact, it is also mentioned that Lord Narayana himself comes as the river Ganges. And there is another version that because the Lord's toenail pierced the covering of the universe, the Ganges came into this universe. So we see Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that all three versions are true. That was the advent of the river Ganges. And then we see that when the associates of Bali Maharaj, when they saw how Lord Vishnu has tricked Bali Maharaj by taking the form of a Brahmana beggar. He's come in the form of a Brahmana Brahmachari. And he has tricked him by asking for three steps of land, but actually taken everything that Bali Maharaj possesses. So they become very angry. And they talk amongst themselves that, you see, our master Bali, he is so truthful. And he always stands on his promise. He always keeps his promise. And you see this Vishnu, he is a cheater. So we should destroy him. In this way, all the associates of Bali Maharaj, all the demoniac associates, they all charge
and with weapons in hand, they try to attack Lord Vishnu. They come forward. Lord Vishnu, he is always surrounded by his associates like Jai Vijay, Nanda Sunanda. They all come and they finish off all the demons. They start killing these demons. And Bali Maharaj, he sees what is going on and he immediately tries to stop these demons by telling them that there is no need to kill. Time is not on our side now. Bali Maharaj understands that it was previously we were successful against Indra and the Devatas because providence was on our side. Time was favoring us. Now that time is not favoring us, we are going to be defeated. And in this way he gives instructions to his demoniac followers to stop the fight, who are then sent to the lower planetary systems by the associates of Vishnu. Now, Garuda, the eternal carrier of Lord Vishnu, he comes there understanding the mind of the Lord, and with this Varuna Pasha, with this rope of Varuna, he captures Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj is made to stand like a prisoner. And everybody is watching. Now, and then Lord Vamandev, he asks Bali that, "You have not fulfilled your promise. There is no place. With my one step I have covered Bhur Loka. With the second step I have covered the upper planetary system. With my body I have covered the remaining area. Now where do I keep the third step of land?" So you haven't fulfilled your promise. You must go down in hell and suffer. So in this way, Lord Vamandev, he speaks to Bali Maharaj. Now in this chapter, we see that Bali Maharaj, he starts to speak. Bali Maharaj, he starts saying, that he calls the Lord Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means the one who is glorified or the one who is described in the choicest of poetry. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he actually gives an explanation of why Bali Maharaj calls Vamandev as Uttama Shloka. Now internally, Bali Maharaj's mood is that of a devotee. And he has understood that Vamandev has come to trick him and take everything away from him just to remove his false pride. So then Bali Maharaj is addressing Vamandev as Uttama Shloka. Why? Because he is saying that you come as a brahmachari beggar asking for three steps of land, but actually you have taken away everything, which is very contrary. A brahmachari beggar, brahmachari is supposed to beg and be satisfied with whatever he gets. But here we see that the Lord has taken away everything and he is showing unlimited greed. He is coming in the form of a Brahmana, and a Brahmana accepts whatever is given. He accepts whatever charity is given to him. But here we see that this Brahmana has taken away so much and his greed is not satisfied at all. In fact, as a Brahmana, he is supposed to be truthful. But here we see that the Lord is resorting to tricks, which is not the nature of a Brahmana. In fact, he is showing lack of peace, anger and punishment as natural qualities. Bali Maharaj is telling the Lord that you have destroyed the intelligence of my Guru and you have also sided with Indra and others. So therefore, the poets glorify you as the most famous. So all these contrary elements, features are present in the Lord, and therefore he is known as Uttama Shloka. So Bali Maharaj is saying, "O Uttama Shloka, you think that my promise is false, but I will rectify matters so that I am not truthful, so that I am truthful. Because if there is anything that I fear, I do not fear going to hell, but what I do fear is defamation. People should not think or say later on that they will break promise as Bali broke his promise. Just like somebody will say, promise, I promise you I will do this. And the opposite party may say, oh, but or will you do like Bali? He promised 3 steps of land, but he could not do. So Bali Maharaj fears this, that in history he should not be defamed. And therefore he says that I'll make things right. So then he says that the 3rd step you put on my head. Shri Shri Radharas Bihari Bhagwan ki, Shri Shri Saram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki. Bali Maharaj had the idea that the possessor of the opulence is higher than the opulence itself. So more than the land that he could give Vamandev, when he is offering himself, he is requesting Vamandev to accept him, his own self. This we see is the highest form of surrender. Atma Nivedanam is offering himself, and he is saying that I am greater than my possessions. So this is the highest charity that I am giving. So in this way I am not being untruthful. I am being truthful, I am offering myself. In fact, Bali Maharaj, he says that, my dear Lord, you are our greatest well-wisher. You are the greatest well-wisher of the demons. Because you side with the devatas, for the pleasure of the devatas, you give them what they want. You give them dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But in this way, they are still entangled in material activities. Whereas to the demons, you are completely liberating us by bereft us from what we desire. Like in this case, the Lord came as Vamandev and he took away all the possessions from Bali Maharaj because that caused him false prestige. So Bali Maharaj is saying that you are very merciful to the demons. You are more merciful than the devatas. We see that in the 7th canto, Shukdev, Maharaj Parikshit is asking Shukdev Goswami, there is an accusation on the Lord that he is partial to the devatas. He always takes the side of the devatas and kills the demons. But in this case we see that the demon himself, Bali Maharaj, he is saying that you are actually partial to us. You are giving us your mercy. Whereas to the devatas, they are being cheated. In fact, we see that in the case of Indra and Vritrasura, Indra won, but Vritrasura, he won the spiritual world. Although Indra, he got a vajra made from Dadichi's bones. And with that, he attacked Vritrasura. And Vritrasura died, the demon. Vritrasura was Chitraketu Maharaj in his previous life. But we see that ultimately Vritrasura, he is offering prayers to Lord Sankarsana, his worshipable Lord. He is fighting with Indra, but his consciousness is absorbed fully in worshipping Lord Sankarsana. And when he dies, Vritrasura goes back to the spiritual world. So Indra wins, but he actually loses. Because he doesn't get the spiritual world. Vritrasura gets the spiritual world. In the same mood, Bali Maharaj is saying that, my dear Lord, you are favoring us by giving us your mercy and removing all the objects that may cause false prestige to us. He's saying you are actually the greatest well-wisher of the demons. And then he remembers Prahlad Maharaj. Bali remembers that how Prahlad Maharaj, despite all opposition, remained steadfast in his devotional practices. And in fact he says that Prahlad Maharaj, my grandfather, he had such an opposition from Hiranyakashipu, his own father, but still he did not deter a bit from your devotional service. We saw in the couple of verses earlier that Bali Maharaj is saying, what is the use of this body and what is the use of the relatives that come along with it? Because all of these relatives, they are going to take the opulence that can be used in the service of the Lord. And in this way we saw that the last verse, Bali is saying that I have been, somehow by your mercy, I have been brought under your lotus feet and deprived of all my opulences. Because those who live under material conditions, they do not know that they are facing death at every instant. So by your mercy, I have been saved. Now we see that in today's verses, we see that Prahlad Maharaj comes. When this happens, Bali is offering prayers. And at that time, Prahlad Maharaj comes there. And the description is given how beautiful Prahlad Maharaj looked. And when Bali saw Prahlad, he was already bound up by the ropes of Varuna. So he was not able to offer him obeisances. So Bali, he just lowers his head down in shame. Bali feels that because he has been an offender to Vishnu, that is the reason why he has been bound up. He has offended Lord Vishnu and therefore he has been bound up now. And when Prahlad, Bali knows he comes from such a great legacy. So when Prahlad Maharaj is coming there, Bali is feeling that I have committed such an apradh. In fact, Srila Chakravarti Pad, he says that Bali is thinking that that he did not listen to the instructions that Prahlad Maharaj must have given about false prestige. And that is the reason why he is feeling shameful, that he told Vamandev very proudly that you take whatever land you want. We see that a couple of chapters back, when Vamandev, he comes in front of Bali Maharaj as a small dwarf. So Bali Maharaj is asking, what will you take? And that time Vamandev, he says only 3 steps of land. So very proudly that time Bali Maharaj says that only 3 steps of land, I can offer you so much. You seem to have very low intelligence. He tells like this to Vamandev. You can ask for the entire universe. I can satisfy you in all respects. But still you want to ask only 3 steps of land? So to teach Bali Maharaj a lesson in humility, the Lord in this way, to glorify Bali Maharaj, he makes this arrangement wherein Bali Maharaj is bound up by the ropes of Varuna. And he is standing in this way and finally Bali offers himself. Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport a very significant verse which comes in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a chapter by the name Lord Shiva saved from Vrikasura. And in this chapter, Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukdev Goswami that how is it that the devotees of Lord Vishnu, they get liberation, whereas the devotees of Lord Shiva, they get all material opulences. Lord Vishnu is the husband of the goddess of fortune. He is husband of Lakshmi Devi. But still we see that the devotees of Lord Vishnu are poverty stricken. Their material situation is not good at all. Whereas the devotees of Lord Shiva, they get whatever they desire. And they become very opulent. How is this such a contradiction? And this is what Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukdev Goswami. Shukdev Goswami replies that Lord Shiva, he manifests himself as the false ego. And when the devotees offer prayers or worship the different elements, which are nothing but the representation of the false ego, Lord Shiva immediately gives them. Whereas Lord Vishnu, who is transcendental above the modes of material nature, the devotees of Lord Vishnu also become transcendental by his mercy. And therefore, they do not get opulences. In fact, Sukhdev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj that your grandfather Yudhishthir also asked this same question to Lord Krishna. Shri Bhagwan Uvacha. So this is the amazing answer that Lord Krishna gives to Yudhishthir when Yudhishthir asks this question, that why this kind of a bias? Why Lord Vishnu's devotees do not get any opulence? Why they are poor? And why Lord Shiva's devotees get? So that time Lord Krishna answers this very significant and very amazing verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes so many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam. श्री भगवान उवाच यस्याहम् अनुगृणामि हरिष्ये तद्धनम् शनय ततो धनम् त्यजन्ति अस्या स्वजन दुख दुखितम्. सो द लॉर्ड इज सेइंग दैट व्हेन आई स्पेशली फेवर समवन, व्हेन आई एम स्पेशली मर्सीफुल ऑन समबडी, आई ग्रेजुअली डिप्राइव हिम ऑफ ऑल हिज वेल्थ. हिज रिलेटिव्स एंड फ्रेंड्स ऑफ सच अ पॉवर्टी स्ट्रिकन मैन अबैंडन हिम. In this way, he suffers from one distress after another. So this is Lord Krishna himself saying that when he is specially merciful on somebody, he takes away everything. And the only thing remaining in this person's life is distress. Now one may say that why is it that Lord Krishna is doing this way, he is giving so much of distress. So the answer is, that is given in the purport to this. Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they have given purport to this 10th canto, to this particular sloka. They say this is actually the distress that the devotees feel in their lives is actually nothing but the Lord's mercy. In fact, the mature devotee sees happiness and distress both as the Lord's mercy. In fact, a mature devotee sees just like a father does not give the sweets to the child thinking that they will not be good for him. For example, if the child is walking with the father and the child points out to the sweets and a lot of flies are sitting on the sweets, the father will not give the sweets to the child knowing that they are not good for his health. Another example is just like the children never want to go to school. Children never want to go to school. They only want to play. But the father forces the child to go to school for his benefit. In the same way, the Lord also gives the devotees distress. It's not distress actually. In this way, he purifies them by putting them in situations which may not be so comfortable. In fact, King Bhishmadev also, after the battle of Kurukshetra, he describes to Yudhishthir his wonder at the Lord's plan for his devotees. He says, Yatra dharma suto raja gadapani rikodaraha krishno stri gandivam chapam surit krishna stato vipat nahi asya karhi chidrajan puman veti viditsitam yad vignas yasya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. He says that how wonderful is this, that in the presence of the demigod, the son of the demigod in charge of religious principles, that is Dharmaraj, that is Yudhishthir, in presence of the wielder of the Gandiva bow, that is Arjun, in the presence of Vrikodara, who is Bhima, the Lord, who is the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas, he is still present, but still what we see, that one after the other, so many difficulties are coming in the lives of the Pandavas. So now, our Srila Prabhupada's disciples have given the purport to this verse. They mention that actually this material distress that is there, which a devotee suffers, is different from the one that a non-devotee suffers. Sometimes as devotees, as practicing devotees, we are still trying to develop faith. And we always get this question, why me? I am chanting my 16 rounds. I wake up early in the morning. I am doing whatever is told to me. Still why so much of distress? Still why so much of difficulty? Isn't Krishna listening? Isn't Krishna watching? Every day morning I am chanting. So many times practicing devotees in the initial stages, we all feel in this way. But here in the purport, it is mentioned that the difficulties that a devotee faces, this is different from that of a non-devotee in the sense that after this it leaves no trace of material contamination. It purifies us completely. Just like the example is given, a physician, he may apply an ointment which may initially burn. A doctor may apply an ointment in the eye to relieve the eye of disease. See, it burns for a while, but actually it is for the good of the eye. In the same way, that is the Lord's mercy also. One of the reasons why the Lord inflicts distress upon his devotees is so that they become more eager to call out for the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that if there was no distress in the lives of devotees like Prahlad, like Dhruva, like the Pandavas, like they would have, the Lord would have never advented. The Lord would have never come. It is only because of the call, the loving call, the desperate call of His devotees that the Lord advents on this world. And if there was no distress that the devotees would have been facing, He would never have come. And then where we would have seen such beautiful pastimes of the Lord? He comes to attract us in this way only because His pure devotees call out to Him. In fact, another reason why He comes, another reason why He gives distress in the lives of devotees is to strengthen the devotee's mood of dependence on Him and longing for Him. So Srila Prabhupada, many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, He mentions this point. He says that we have seen by personal experience, one astrologer predicted that we were to become a very successful businessman, one of the richest persons in the country. Srila Prabhupada writes about himself. That I was supposed to become one of the richest people in the country. But it seems that the Lord had other plans. And then he quotes this verse, Yasyaha manugrinami harishyeta dhanam shanay. That when the Lord is especially merciful to somebody, He takes away all his material possessions. And we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, his material career was actually at a peak. He was a very successful pharmacist, having his own shop at Allahabad, Prayag Pharmacy. He had Prayag Pharmacy, he used to sell medicines. And then after a while he saw that his factory, his laboratory got burned down, his servant ran away with the money. And all this work, so much of work, years of hard work was just watered down completely. And Srila Prabhupada in a way was penniless. And that made him call out, that made him cry out to the Lord. And with full dependence, he boarded the Jaladuta, wherein also this mood of Sharanagati, of complete surrender, is shown by Srila Prabhupada. The reason why the Lord takes away all the opulences of the devotee, He Himself gives the reason a few verses ahead. We will see, the Lord says that if somebody is born in an aristocratic family, if he performs wonderful activities, is very youthful, and is very beautiful, it is very natural that he will be proud. And if he is not proud, that means he is favored by me. So they are all causes of arrogance and pride. So the Lord takes away so that the devotee does not become proud. So just like we see in the case of Indra also, in Govardhan Leela, we see that the Lord curbed the pride of Indra also. So therefore, for practicing devotees like us also, we always have to be vigilant that although we do various services, we should not come under this conception that I am doing it. Somebody may be involved in a service like book distribution, and he may think that I distributed so many books today and may become proud of that I am such an expert book distributor. Somebody may be involved in a service like fundraising, and he may bring a lot of money, and he may think that I have brought so much of money. So this is false pride that may affect us practicing devotees also. And we learn through this pastime of Bali Maharaj that how important it is to retain this mood of humility. They say pride comes before the fall. In English there is this saying, pride comes before the fall. Before a person falls, there is pride. So how important it is for us as practicing devotees to be very careful of false pride that may affect us at any moment. Srila Prabhupada, we see his mood. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a beautiful book called Sharanagati. It's a book of poems. And there are so many poems which describe this mood of helpless surrender. Just like there is this first poem, when you open the book Sharanagati, this first poem is there, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori. in which there is this, in which the definition of Sharanagati is mentioned. We are seeing that Bali Maharaj now, Bali Maharaj has already surrendered himself. And this is the mood.
Dainya Atma Nivedana Gobdritve Varana Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishwasa Palan Bhakti Anukula Matra Karayera Svikar Bhakti Pratikula Bhava Varjanangikar Shadanga Sharanagati Hoibe Jahara Tahara Prarthana Shune Srinanda Kumara.
So in this beautiful song of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes the different ways of Sharanagati. He describes about how we can surrender to the Lord. There first is Dainya or humility. Dedication of the self, that is Atma Nivedana. Gopritve Varana, acceptance of the Lord as the only maintainer. The Lord is the only maintainer. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna. Krishna is the only protector. Vishwasa Palana. And Bhakti Anukula Matra Kariye Svikar, accepting only those activities which are favorable to devotional service. And Bhakti Pratikula Bhava Varjan Angikara. And rejecting all those activities which are not favorable. And in this way, in this sixfold practice of Sharanagati, by practicing in these sixfold stages, one can actually achieve pure devotion. This is the way of Sharanagati. So we see that in this particular pastime, Bali Maharaj is exhibiting this particular mode. In fact, Srila Prabhupada also, he also exhibited this kind of complete dependence on the Lord when he was on board the Jaladuta. So there is this beautiful poem that Srila Prabhupada has written by the name of Markhine Bhagavad Dharma. And this is, he writes this when he is almost reaching Boston Harbor. So he is just going to embark upon his mission. And Srila Prabhupada mentions, he in this mood of Sharanagati, of helpless surrender, he mentions, he is praying to the Lord. Somehow or other, my dear Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. But it is up to you whether I will be a success or a failure, as you like. I can simply repeat your message. If you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. And only by your mercy will my words become pure. And when this transcendental message, it penetrates the people of America, it penetrates their hearts, they will surely feel enlightened and liberated from all the unhappy conditions of life. And Srila Prabhupada, he gives this final statement. He says, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhakti Vedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. So Srila Prabhupada, this is his mode of prayer when he is just about to land at Boston Harbor on the ship, on Jaladuta. And we see that this was the mood that was shown, that was seen, this mood of complete dependence, it was seen by Srila Prabhupada's disciples also. In the initial years, when they used to go to different countries, to open centers, not knowing the place, not knowing the people, and they used to go and do whatever service was required. So in the 40th anniversary program that we had a couple of months ago, His Grace Shauri Prabhu and His Grace Banabhatta Prabhu, they were mentioning about their realization. They were mentioning about the experience. And they were mentioning about how they were collecting for Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple in Hawaii. And then from there, they joined His Grace Guru Kripa Prabhu's Namhatta party, which was in Japan. Now in Japan they used to take magazines. They had magazines and they used to sell magazines to these Japanese people. And they used to collect a lot of money and send it to Srila Prabhupada. That is how the Vrindavan temple was built. And that is a large portion of that money also was used in the construction of this temple. So His Grace Shauri Prabhu and Banavatta Prabhu, they were mentioning about when they were in Japan, they got caught by the police for collecting illegally. And then they were detained, they went to jail. And then they were sent back to their country. They were sent back to Hawaii. And what did they do? They made fake passports with fake names. And they went back again to Hawaii to continue collection. And then again after a while they were caught and they were put in jail. And then again they were sent back. And then what did they do? They again made fake passports and again went back. So we see that through the lives of so many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they did whatever was required to preach and to spread this message. And following this mood also, around a year and a half back, we went on this bus party, Harinam and doing book distribution. So we also experienced this kind of a mood and this kind of a situation wherein one is so helpless that there is no other option left but to surrender to the Lord. So it so happened once we were traveling in Gujarat. So in our bus party we had this, we used to go in this old Sankirtan bus of Juhu, and we had an advance party which used to go, eco car used to go as an advance party. And the eco used to go figure out which place we are going to stay and some dharamshala or some temple. And which market that day we are going to cover doing Harinam and book distribution. So it so happened that in one day we were at this place called Disa. It is in Uttar Gujarat. It is a small town. Now our schedule used to take prasad in the morning. We used to first in the morning take prasad and leave from the location. And advance party used to go ahead and search an appropriate place. And then, we used to just ask some dharamshalas or some random temples, just request them that we are a few traveling sadhus, please allow us, we have our beddings, just we need one washroom and just allow us to stay for two nights and then we'll proceed ahead. So when we went to this place Disa, in Gujarat there are a lot of Swaminarayan temples and they were very courteous to always allow us to stay. So we went to Disa and there somehow we reached in the afternoon, all the temples were closed. And we didn't have any place to go. Where to go? No dharamshalas, there's nothing, which was a small town, there's nothing there. So we were wondering, now time was ticking, the bus party was behind, all the devotees are waiting, when the cooking will start so that prasadam can be taken and then after that we'll be going out for Harinam and book distribution. Everything was getting delayed, it was already 3 to 4 hours had passed by. We were thinking now what to do. So I remember that time we were in the advance party, 2-3 of us were there and we were just... There's nothing to do. Everybody was telling us, don't go. So we were just wondering, now what? So, because there are another 10 devotees that we are responsible for. So there was no option but to fully depend. And I remember that time the kind of chanting we did was better than everything else put together. Because there's so much of desperation. And then we still kept trying. We kept trying. And somehow we met one person who... somehow we went to one dharamshala and there they told us that you go to this particular man who has a petrol pump and he's the in charge of this dharamshala also. He may allow you, we cannot allow you. So we went and we very humbly requested. And time was ticking, we were already extremely exhausted and we were waiting. Finally this man came and it so happened that this man happened to be the head of the Vishwa Hindu Parishad in that area. And he happened to be not only the in charge of the dharamshala, he was so respectful and courteous. He became so happy on seeing us Hare Krishna devotees that he gave us free stay in the dharamshala. He opened his house and we were kind of staying partially in his house. We were taking prasad in his house and we had free stay in his place and he arranged programs other places also. Until today we are in touch with this man. So somehow we saw that this kind of mood we were able to experience when we go out to preach. And that can be also the mood of all the devotees. We can always try to develop this mood of taking challenges for preaching. The more we take challenges for preaching and becoming more uncomfortable to serve. Because this kind of mood of helpless surrender cannot come when one is situated in a comfortable position. Devotion cannot develop when one is in a very comfortable position. Just like we mentioned, Srila Chakravarti Pad, he says that if Prahlad, if Dhruva, they were comfortable, then they would never have called out for the Lord. So in this way, if we accept more challenges, then we get that kind of realization also. So we practically saw that when we took up this challenge of the bus party, after that somebody from his own side, they gave us, sponsored an entire bungalow which we are now renovating and making into a temple. So it is all the result of taking up a challenge. So in this way we see that this is the mood of Sharanagati, of complete surrender and dependence on the Lord, which is very, very progressive towards pure devotional service, which is actually the real aim of life. So there is one particular bhajan which we like to sing and conclude with. This is actually the mood of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is feeling that Prahlad has come. If you can kindly open to Amar Jeevan, yeah? Okay. So Bali Maharaj is feeling completely, he is feeling that he has been such an offender. He has not lived up to the expectation of Prahlad Maharaj. And he feels that he is very offensive to the Lord. And in that, and therefore he is crying. We saw that in this particular verse, Bali Maharaj, there are tears coming from his eyes. And this mood of dainyata, this mood of humility, is something that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written so beautifully in all his poems. And as a practicing sadhaka, one bhajan which is very relevant to this mood of complete surrender and dependence and humility is this Amar Jeevan. I'll just read out the translation. It says, I am an impious sinner and have caused others great anxiety and trouble. I have never hesitated to perform sinful acts for my own enjoyment, devoid of all compassion, concerned only with my own selfish interests. I am remorseful seeing others happy. I am a perpetual liar, and the misery of others is a source of great pleasure to me. The material desires within the core of my heart are unlimited. I am wrathful, devoted to false pride and arrogance, intoxicated by vanity and bewildered by worldly affairs. Envy and egotism are the ornaments that I wear. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds. Yet I am very active and enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For worldly fame and reputation, I engage in the practice of deceitfulness. Thus I am destroyed by my own greed and am always lustful. A vile wicked man such as this, rejected by godly people, is a constant offender. I am such a person, devoid of all good works, forever inclined toward evil, worn out and wasted by various miseries. Now in old age, deprived of all means of success, humbled and poor, Bhaktivinoda submits his tale of grief at the feet of the Supreme Lord. So we'll just sing this bhajan, which is actually the mood of a sadhaka, should have, a mood that a sadhaka should have.
Amar Jeevan Sada Pape Rata Nahi Ko Punye Rale Sha. Parare Udvega Diya shi je ko to, diya shi di ve rakle sa. निज सुख लागी पापे नाही दोरी दोया ही न स्वार्थ पारो। पर सुखे दुखी सदा मिथ्या भाषी पर दुख सुख करो। अशेष कामना हृदि माझे मोरा क्रोधी दंभ पारायणा। मद मत्त सदा विषय मोहित हिंसा गर्व विभूषणा। निद्रालस्य हात सुकार्य विरत अकार्य उद्योगियामि। प्रतिष्ठा लागिया सत्याचरण लोभ हट सदा कामी। सत्याचरण एहनो दुर्जन सज जन वर्जित अपराधी निरंतर। शुभ कार्य शून्य सदनर्थ माना नाना दुखे जरा जरा। बार्धक्ये खोना उपाय विहीना तत दिन आकिंचना। भगति विनोद प्रभु राचरणे करो दुख निवेदना। आमार जीवन सदा पापे रत नहीं को पुण्य रालेशा। भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर की जय है। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की श्री प्रभुपाद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे।